Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present the Discipleship Series. This is Lesson 5 with Dennis Peacock.
Okay, we're moving now into the final teaching of this series on discipleship. In your notes, you've got about a dozen review points. The reason I'm doing this is I want you to be able, if you want to know what did he say, these are the major points that we've covered so far, so you can get it in a glance. We're now moving to learning how to speak and how to see. Again, this months of stuff we could talk about. The tools of a disciple, learning how to speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, whatever else we want to say critical, whatever else about the faith movement, we need to understand that one of the reasons that God honored that movement to the degree that he did is the degree to which it focused on the reality of truth in our confessions. I never want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I want to learn to be able to pick through, that was right on, that was off 4 degrees, that was off 20 degrees, that was right on, that was off 2 degrees. One of the gifts that we have from the faith movement was that they've challenged the body of Christ to examine the significance of speaking truth. Okay? We must understand, this is heavy now, God help us, Lord Jesus, help us here, Holy Spirit. We must understand that speaking involves both an outer and an inner conversation. Boy, I wish I'd understood this 20 years ago. With our outer conversation, we communicate to others. With our inner conversation, we communicate to ourselves. Now, I hope you're aware of this. If you're not, you will now become immediately aware of it. We think in word conversations. We feel in emotions. We think in words. By the way, that's why reading and a strong working vocabulary is critical, because your mind, it's like a balloon that's blown up. And when you get a new word that has a meaning behind it, it's like blowing up a new balloon in your understanding. I was saying to somebody here recently who I've walked with for many years, and we're talking about counseling another person, and I said to this guy, I said, Ray, I can say one word to you and it's 17 pages behind that word, and you know what it is. I say the same word to somebody else, and it'll take me 3 days to communicate what that word means. That's the beauty of walking with somebody and being of one mind, is it accelerates your communication tremendously. Words are doors to reality. We think in words, and we talk to ourselves in that internal conversation. Now let's look at this diagram 1 on page 11, how actions are built. We have a stimulus, that is, you should do this, or I'd like to do that, or you have what we call an idea, and then you know what happens? You begin to have an inner conversation about that. You begin to talk to yourself about that idea. I think, I will, maybe I should, what if I, et cetera, et cetera. Now your mind, your inner conversation starts working. Then it starts reaching for will and emotions, because will and emotions are the fuel of action. Action is not birthed by a thought, or I should say, action is not brought to pass by a thought, it's brought to pass by will and emotions. Now, after your will and your emotions have come to a decision about the thought that you've had, the next thing that happens is a declaration. That's why life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You then make a declaration about the action that you're about to commit. I shall. I will. Now, The outer conversation is the fruit of the inner conversation. In order to work backwards, because this thing is like a two-edged sword, in order to change the inner conversation, I must change the outer conversation. We're learning to speak as a disciple here, okay? A disciple understands this, that if I am going to change my inner conversation, I begin by changing my outer conversation and lining up my outer conversation with the Word of God and then speaking it back down the tube into my inner conversation, to my will, to my emotions, to my mind. This one I can see that you're going to have to marinate in a while. That's okay. Study this diagram. This is reality. This is the way it works. If I want to change my inner conversation, I begin by changing my outer conversation and aligning that with the Word of God. Okay, let's talk for a little bit about the inner conversation. We think in words, sentences, and we feel in emotions. Next page. We think, that is, we speak internally, and what we are saying on the inside may or may not be aligned with what we are saying in our outer conversation. The Bible describes the inner conversation as thinking in our hearts. Say, the modern world would say, well, the Bible's screwy. What do you mean, thinking in our hearts? That just shows how primitive the Bible is. You don't think in your heart. You think in your head. Oh, really? Oh, really? You can think in your head, but thinking in your heart is the inner conversation where you are talking to yourself. And Proverbs and Matthew, scriptures cited here, addresses this. Now, unbelief, you say, Dennis, what is unbelief? I'm going to define it for you now. I think I've got a pretty good working definition. Unbelief is when my inner conversation is not the same as my outer conversation. Where when I'm saying one thing with my mouth and another thing in my insides. Exhibit A. What's your name, my brother? Tim. This isn't true, but for example. God bless you, Tim, and inwardly I'm saying, you dog. It's really a bummer to see you. Highly, oh, it's so good to see you. The Lord bless you, and inward I'm saying, with a brick. The outer conversation is saying one thing. The inner conversation is saying another. That is called duplicity or unbelief. Now, you know what that does? That creates confusion within us. Because there are two different sounds going on in us. You know what faith is? Faith is when the inner conversation and the outer conversation are aligned and saying the same thing. Now, that's easier said than done. That is, Lord, I believe, pray thou for my unbelief. I believe with my outer conversation, make my inner conversation agree. Now, my goal as a disciple is to have one conversation. The double-minded man is what? Why is he unstable? Because he's got two or more conversations. This is funny. I was on an acid trip in the days in the world in tremendous confusion. And what I said was, and you know what? It was the Holy Ghost talking through me. Even then, I said to myself, well, we're all in this together. Why was I saying we're all in this together? It was an expression of how fragmented I was and how many different voices and how many different directions I was moving in. The goal is to have one voice. Lord, bring my inner conversation in alignment with my outer conversation in alignment with your conversation. Now, there's what I say to myself and what I say to others. Anybody here ever been around anybody who's insecure? Yeah, exactly. What do I mean by that? Do you know how insecurity is revealed? Insecurity is revealed by somebody who is saying something really positive about themselves with their outer conversation, but in your discerner, you can tell in their inner conversation, they're thinking that they're really a failure, a jerk, you don't like me, blah, 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 blah. And the harder their inner conversation is condemning themselves, the harder their outer conversation is bragging about who they are. Now, when we see that going on, and by the way, here's where I'm going to pull the sheet off stuff called Get Naked. The conspiracy is we play this game. I won't tell what I see and what I hear if you won't tell what you see and you hear. That's called religion. And we Christians are masters of the game. We're masters of that game. The conspiracy is I won't look too deep if you won't look too deep, which is another way of saying the blood ain't working with us. Because if the blood is working, we can look as deep as we want and tell it like it is, and nobody is going to get uptight. Nobody's going to get uptight. Now, what are we saying in our inner conversation? It didn't work last time. Lord bless him with the brick. We're in confusion. We're saying in our outer conversation, we're saying, I'm healed in Jesus. In our inner conversation, we're saying, I've been prayed for 16 times and never got healed. Now, which conversation do you believe? The I'm healed or the one that's going on the inside? I'll tell you which one you believe. The one that's going on the inside. We say, Lord, bless him, and you're inwardly saying with a brick. You're saying, I'm here to serve you. What you're really saying is, I wish I were home. Now, the Bible talks about how Jesus knowing, Jesus in the Holy Spirit, we have the gift, if we have the courage to operate in it, of seeing what people are really saying to themselves on the inside. I mean, you see this all over the New Testament where the folks were saying one thing to him, and it says, and Jesus knowing their thoughts, which is inner conversation, said, I hear what you're saying in there. I hear what you're saying in there. That's why he talked what I call his space talk routine. Some of you heard me talk about his space talk routine. It's like we say one thing and he comes in from outer space. Why does he come in from outer space? Because he's addressing the inner conversation, not the outer conversation. He's addressing what we're really thinking in our heart, not what we're saying with our tongue. He goes into his space talk. Now, the goal of the disciple is to bring the inner and the outer conversation into alignment under God. Friendship or authenticity is measured by that agreement. We often sense when somebody is not telling the truth. That is, they're saying one thing on the outside, and yet we know another thing is being said on the inside. Their body language, their eyes. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that reveal what's going on. This is where the martial arts gets dangerous, and that's why you got to curse some of the stuff that goes with it. On high-level fighting, it's the art of discerning what isn't real from what is, so that you don't move. When the flinch is given or the fake is given, you don't move because you know it isn't real. And you are waiting for what is real. Now, I understand that to a little bit. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, teach me in life to separate out what is trying to pull me off and isn't really a threat from what is real. Lord, I wish we had 3 hours to write here. You see, one of the things we do to brutalize each other when we get into arguments is if Ray and I are hassling and he says something to me that brings up insecurity, I will block that thing. And husbands, this is where we mutilate our wives. I will block that thing with tremendous force out of my insecurity when all that was needed was, but my insecurity and my anger. If I was in the Spirit, I wouldn't even hurt you when it was blocked because it didn't really threaten me. I think about the times I've done this to Jan or other people when they said something and I went, whoa. It wasn't even a real attack. The scar tissue that we build in each other from that stuff, oh God help us. The tongue of a disciple begins on the inside and sets the course for the outer tongue, hence the body. We all know the Bible is full of insight and admonitions on how our tongue, that is our outer conversation, controls our lives. Proverbs especially focuses on skill and discipline in terms of using our tongues properly, the skill to use it and the discipline to use it. Our faith is directed by what we say. Okay, that's old teaching to a lot of you, but we need to be reminded of it. Our faith is directed by what we say. As we've already seen, our goals are established by our speaking made clear by our written speaking. Habakkuk 2:2, take the vision, write it down, make it plain. You know what? You will be amazed if you will write down on a piece of paper and keep a record of it how it will keep your life clear. Take the vision, write it down, make it plain so that we'll know how to run. Okay? Writing is written speaking. And it doesn't forget. That's the beauty of it. Okay, let's close with what I right now am most into. This is my routine right now that the Holy Spirit has really got me in. How to see. Oh, Jesus, do I want to learn how to see? Now, let's look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7:1, do not judge lest you be judged, verse 1, for in the way you judge you'll be judged, and by your standard of measure it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye and behold the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Huge stuff in here. We have a modern psychological word called projection. Projection, simply stated, is Matthew 7. If I have a speck close up, it'll appear to be a log at a distance. In other words, whatever is in my eye is what I'm putting out there. That's what Jesus is saying. You can't see clearly enough what's out there until what's in here is recognized and dealt with. Now, a disciple is somebody who is working on getting their eye clear so that we can see each other clearly. I am so struck by that little healing that Jesus did where he spit in the clay, which was, pew, what was that? That was the God's curveball. Here comes, he's been pitching fastballs, low and inside, high and outside, and here comes God's curve, just to keep everybody honest. Amen? How many of you know that's life in the Spirit? God throws fastballs, high, low, inside, that's normal, and then comes a pew, curve. But the amazing thing is, as he was in the process, he said, I see men like trees walking. And then after the thing was done, he said, I see all men clearly. Woo! I wish I could say, I see all men clearly. I see all men clearly. I don't see all men clearly because of the stuff that's in my eye. Now, I want to see clear. In order to see clear, I got to get healed. And I got to understand that a lot of what I see is my projection. So I got to deal with what's in my own eye. You will note that in verse 5, he says, take the log out, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother. By the way, and we taught on this in Hurts of Life, he is not saying don't judge. He's saying don't judge until you see clearly. The "and then" tells me He wants me to judge, but not until my eyes clear. Or when I am judging, to understand, I know I see this, but I also know I got stuff going on in me that makes that a little unclear. Brother, this is what I see. I want to tell you what I see. I know some of it's real. I also know there's distortion in my own eye. But you need to hear, this is what I see. And because we're under the blood, we're not going to defend each other about it, are we? We're going to say, praise God, let's fool with that, see what's true. Now, practicing sin obscures my vision. Practicing sin obscures my vision. Lord Jesus. You see, here's what we need. This is by the grace of God, what God has given to me. This is a gift God has given to me. I want to give it to you. The gift is, I believe it's possible to see clearly. I believe. My inner conversation believes that. I'm not just saying it to you to sound spiritual. By the grace of God, my inner conversation believes that it's possible to see clearly. And I want it. I want it. I want to do what God wants to do through me. I have to see clear. And I know that. If I don't see clear, I can't do what God's put in my heart to do. I can't do it. Now, if you don't believe that you can see clear, you're not going to work out to get there, are you? Faith works by hope. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. I have a hope that I can see clear. Faith then puts into action my hope. If you don't have hope, you will not have faith. But I have a hope. I believe to see clear. I believe it's possible. Now, sin keeps me from seeing clear. Okay? What is inside us determines our vision. Next page, coming down the stretch here. I did a tape. I taught on discerning the fundamental nature of people and things. Recommend that to you again, dealing with hearing and seeing. Okay, fear clouds our vision. Fear clouds our vision. Undue speed or haste clouds our vision. Personal ambition clouds our vision. False expectations. Okay, right over that. But I thought. Okay? You see, it's what we expect is what we see. And if what I expect is not real, I'm not in reality. I'm living in what I expect. I'm not living in what's there. Now, I can't believe how many times I've missed it because I expected somebody to be somewhere, but that's not where they were. Because I wanted them to be there, they should have been there. Sometimes for real. They really should have been there. But I wanted them to be there so much, I couldn't help them because I couldn't see where they were. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer. How many of the arguments that you have with your spouse is a rat race, a squirrel cage, chasing your tail over and over and over and over because you still don't see each other and you still don't hear each other? And the reason you never get the thing resolved is because you're living in unreality as to what the other person is saying. It's because, but I thought. I expect you. This is what you mean by that. It may not be what they mean at all, but it's what you think they mean, and it's what you expect that they mean. And when we're like that, we never can get it right. It's called neuroses. We're trapped in repeated cycle of failure. Okay? But I thought, wanting things to be the way we want them to be, idealism. Now, no, you're not going to be a leader unless you've got idealism. That's a fact. But if your idealism is not sanctified, you're going to disappoint yourself and a pile of other people. That's one of my problems. I'm very idealistic. I would not be doing what I'm trying to do without idealism. But it has to be sanctified. See, I said to the Lord some years ago, about 1980, I said, Lord, I want to see reality. He said to me, are you sure? See, I'm at it long enough to know when God asks you a rhetorical question, it's called buckle up. What he's saying is, you don't really understand what you're asking for. I said, Lord, I want reality. He said, okay. And I feel like the last 14 years of my life has been a slow progression of coming to more and more reality. And without being crude, it's been a hell of a journey. And by the way, hell is unreality, if you can hear that. Hell is abiding in unreality forever. I'm in the same way that when I'm in the Spirit, I'm experiencing eternal life. When I'm in deception, I'm experiencing hell on earth. I don't have to. Do I believe in hell? I can find it outside in 5 minutes. I can find it outside in 5 minutes. Unfortunately, I can find it in here, too. I can find it in me. Hell is living in unreality and the consequences of what that is and what it does to us. Now, let's talk about two vital things as we begin to close that allow disciples to see clearly. First one is called perspective. God, help me. I don't know what to do. I've got to tell you what I see. I do not understand this. I do not understand this. I can only tell you that it's true. I cannot fight him by looking at him. I have to look at him in the whole surrounding and be able to see the background and the foreground in order to keep from losing him when he goes into speed. I do not know what that is. I only know that it's all. I'm telling you, that is a law. Now, first the natural, then the spiritual. The natural things that are, Hebrews 9:24, are a picture to us of what? The eternal things, the spiritual things. Perspective is absolutely essential. If I look at what is in front of me, I can't see it. That is called, I cannot see the forest for the trees. Now, training your eye to see, why are we disciples? Because our natural tendency is what? Fallenness. That's why we are disciples. We are cutting against our fallenness. Our fallenness sees everything right in front of our nose. We lose perspective. You know, why do you get discouraged? What have you lost? Perspective. Why do you fall into hate or fear or lust or whatever? Because what you're looking at is right here. And you're looking at it so hard, you can't see it in the broader perspective as to what it is. Now, when I lose perspective, I go into my flesh. That is a law. Let me tell you something else. Walking in the Spirit is the ability to hold your sight in the midst of action. The guy broke my nose because I lost him in action. See, once you see this, you see it. Once you get into this in the Spirit, you can actually watch somebody's eyes glaze over and you can tell they're not seeing anymore. I'm on it now so I can see it. Once you see it, you can begin to see it. I can feel my own eyes glaze over when I lose perspective. You did this, yeah, but I'm lost. I'm in my flesh. Okay, now let's talk. Because I'm seeing it all. This is not Zen. This is not Zen. Zen stole this from Jesus. Perspective. Losing the trees. Okay? To separate ourselves, in order to gain perspective, we need to separate ourselves from the system or the things that distract us. Abraham was called out from his family because his family was a part of a system that would not allow him to move in faith, i.e., see clearly from God's point of view. Moses was called out of Egypt for 40 years because the system would not allow him to see clearly and he had to get deprogrammed in the desert. The prophets, all of them, you see them in Scripture, called out from their system in order to see. David, why was David in the wilderness 7 years? He needed to get deprogrammed from the system of which he was a part in order to see clear. John the Baptist, why was John the Baptist out there forever? He needed to get deprogrammed. He needed to make sure that he actually never got into that system so he could see it with perspective. Paul disengaged. Scholars disagree. Was it 9, 11, 14 years? I tend to believe it was 14. But Paul disengaged for a prolonged period of time. Why? Because he was up too close to see it. He had to get back. That's why I believe in a Sabbath. A Sabbath is my time to disengage so I can see. I can't see unless I disengage. I can't see myself unless I disengage. That's why we spend time with God, to disengage. Now, this diagram, seeing the big picture, is just another way of graphically putting out. Number one, if we're going to see perspective, we need to see the system that we're dealing with, or the person we're dealing with. Then we need to see the methodology. We move from the big to the methodology, then to the particular. In other words, our vision goes, this is the overall game. This is the way this person plays the game. This is the way they're acting right now. This is the overall system. Why Christian worldview? Because you can't function biblically without the big picture of what the system has put up for you to deal with. I got to get the big picture as to what's happening here. Then this is what's happening in my life. This is the way the game is going in my life. And this is the way the game is going in this situation or this person. If I'm in the Spirit, I'm actually able to hold all three of those things to some degree. And the more clearly I can hold the big picture, the more I can see in the Spirit. It's amazing. The issues. Do I see what is there or what I want to be there? Motives. Am I here to take or give? The tongue of the learned, Isaiah 50, is sustaining the weary one. I can see and I hear clearly depending upon my motives. If my motives are to give, not take, it's amazing how my hearing and seeing goes way up. If my motive is to take, I can't see or hear. Motives determine how well I hear and see. Huge truth there. Conclusions. Conclusions. We've been exposed to ideas, i.e., we've been taught. Point two, if you train with these ideas, you'll see that they work. What is the conclusion of the matter? Disciples will train. Now, closing. I hope and I believe that in what I've shared, the Holy Spirit has helped us enough for you to get the general idea of what we're after. The general idea. The question now becomes, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? The question underneath that becomes, do you believe it's possible? Where's your faith? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A disciple, at the end of the day, is looking for the truth of Christ. To live it, be a part of it, walk in it, and help others get there. I am not a master disciple. I've been at it for a while. I feel like I have just now popped in to a new level of seeing what I'm after. I hope that in a year or two or five, I can give you a further report of what I see, a further understanding of what I see is in it. That is my goal. My goal, and I close with this, my goal is to be able to help those that are coming in the next generation to take what I got and start their journey from where I am ending mine. I want my son and my daughters and those that are the next generation, I want to teach them my technique in Christ. You know, I may have 30 years. God knows how long I have. But what I want to do is I want to close out the remainder of my life by helping them start where I am. That's what I want to do. I'll tell you, so what's your name, dear?
Shannon.
Shannon. Shannon. Blocking works. I guarantee you, it works. If you practice it, apply it, it works. And what it does, it gives you a taste for blood. You say, man, this tastes good. Makes you aggressive. Romans 5:17. Those who abide in Him shall reign in life through Christ Jesus. What we're really talking about is reigning in life. May the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, give you and me the faith to become disciples, to learn how to see, how to hear, how to speak, so that we can pursue His way, His truth, and His life. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.